أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده رسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد أجل فرجهم. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد. I'm going to stop with that part. I think it kind of fits this gathering. The Christians that came to the Prophet Muhammad Islam, and they had said to him, well, tell us about your Lord. Who is God? And Prophet Muhammad said, basically, like, I don't know. Because the Prophet Muhammad does not know who Allah is. The only thing that can know who Allah is Allah. And so in that verse of the Quran, we call it Surah Tawheed, right? Which means unity, actually. It means the oneness, right? He says, say, he is Allah one. But it's interesting because in the Arabic, the word ahad doesn't mean like one and there's a two and a three, right? And I tell people all the time when I talk about Islam that Islam is not a monotheistic religion. It's not. Because monotheism means what? To worship how many gods? One. Islam is a religion in Arabic. The word is tawheed. It is to believe in the unicity of Allah. That he is one. There's no other. There's just one. And so some people could look at it like pantheism, but it's not pantheism because it's beyond pantheism, right? Or if you know Spinoza, right? Spinoza got disbanded because he believed in the universal of a universal God, right? Or Einstein. So this concept of the oneness of Allah, it has been something that throughout the universe people have understood. And so I said it because, I had a speech and I'm going to get to it, but it's like this group. I always try to look at groups and when I saw everybody come and put the stones in and the singing and stuff, it reminded me of somebody who was, again, a friend of mine. I met a lot of weird people, and not in a bad way because I'm weird too. I'm going to say, I don't know. I used to live in Texas, right? And everybody said I was weird. And I was like, I thought I was weird. And then I came back to Cal in Berkeley. I said, no, I'm not weird. They're weird. I was in Berkeley. What are you talking about? The rest of the world is weird, not me. And so I learned to accept my eccentricism and my weirdness and whatever you want to call it. But I call it, I'm from Berkeley and I'm proud to be from, well, I'm really from Richmond. I just made my way over to Berkeley, right? And but when I was at Cal at 20 years of age and everything, I had to take Shahada and I became Muslim. And when I became Muslim, this Iranian sister came to me and said, hey, I got a religious studies class. Can you come speak in my religious studies class? And I'm like, okay, fine. And so me, you know, I'm American, so I just dress like an American. I walked to the class. The professor was like 400 people, big class and everything. And the professor was there. And he wasn't supposed to be there, but he got canceled. Older man, right? He says, you want to talk? So he looked at me and said, hey, man, this guy's pretty young. You know, he thought some older scholar. I'm 22 years old, right? So he says, so I want to have class. He said, hey. He's like this. He said, I'm going to give you 15 minutes. He said, talk for 15 minutes. And then that'll be it. I'm like, fine, I don't care. I didn't think I was going to do it anyway. I walked in there. I talked 15 minutes, and after 15 minutes, and this is what I loved about him, right? He was older, and he said, hey, I want to apologize to you. I said, why? He said, because I didn't think that you would have this knowledge at such a young age of Islam, right? He says, I apologize. You can talk the rest of the hour and a half. And they invited me every year to speak in Islamic studies class. And then he wrote a book and said, hey, matter of fact, will you edit my book for me? I'm like, wow, this is UC Berkeley. And you may know him. His name is Houston Smith. Oh, you get it? Well, then I feel good. So Houston Smith became a good friend of mine because, you know, and when I saw you guys, you reminded me of Houston because his energy and his love for humanity was something that if you ever met him, you could just like it emanated from him, you know. And Houston always was like, He just had something that, you know, he wrote the book. It was called Religions of Man, and then they changed it to World Religions because he was sensitive. But he would always have me speak and come afterward and talk to class. But he was very instrumental in my future. And I said because I was like, being from Berkeley, you got to be a political activist, right? So I was a political activist up there, and I did a lot of stuff that was, you know, protesting, having fun. And I didn't think I'd get in grad school, right? And so I have a professor, Hamid Algar, who's a genius. I mean, he knows like 27 languages in the School of Near Studies. So he said that they wrote me a letter. So I asked Houston Smith, can you write me a, what do you call it, a letter of recommendation to get to grad school, right? And so he said, hey, man, you know, because everybody in the department knew who he was, said, it's the funniest letter we ever got. I said, why? He said, he wrote a short letter, said, if you do not let Hashim in grad school, you've committed a sin against God. So I was like, hey, you know. So for me, I say that, but I say that only because when you guys came, it's the end. In fact, if you know who he is, it's good, because most time I give a talk, no one knows who he is, right? It's like, hey, I don't know. Young people don't know him, but it's important because I think that his work and the way he wrote his book on world religions and everything, it was something that he found the commonalities in religions, you know, amongst the differences. So he was able to explore and look at unicity within multitude. And that's something that's very difficult for people to do, because many people are caught in the different dynamics of what life is. And so when I came and I made my talk about Mary, the reason I chose Mary, I thought it was a church, so, right, is because in the month of Ramadan, I speak downtown Oakland, and I had to choose topics for the last nights. So last nights of Ramadan, the last odd nights, are considered the nights of power. And the nights of power, I mean, we believe all the angels and spirits come down to earth and everything. And so I had to find something. So Imam Ali, in a tradition, he was the prophet's grandson. And for Sunnis, Sunni Muslims, he is the fourth caliph. For Shia Muslims, he is the first imam of the leadership of the Muslim Ummah. So he's a very, you know, philosophical and spiritual person. So I talked about his light in the light of Malcolm X, because I wanted to look at Malcolm's life and how Imam Ali led it, because Malcolm plays an important part in my life. But I think for you guys, you know who Malcolm X is, but, you know, it's funny because most people who are born overseas, they don't know who, you know, they might say, you know, who's Malcolm 10, you know, who's 1 through 9, you know, they don't even get that there's just an X. And so sometimes I find myself talking to a group of people who, you know, they don't know, and I feel I have to educate them on Malcolm, because Malcolm is, I was talking to a brother here, and he made a point that, you know, African-American, oh, my sister, somebody said about African-American being Muslims. Was that you or her? Or, yeah. And I said, it's interesting because the majority of Muslims in America are African-American. But CNN and definitely Fox aren't going to show us that, are they? Like, when something happens overseas, they bring some person who, nothing against my brother, because you know they look like him, right? And he represents the Muslim Ummah, and he says stuff. And I say, why do they do that? Because if you brought a black person on to talk about Islam on CNN, it kills the idea of what Islam is, and it makes it a cultural religion instead of a religion that brings in and embraces different cultures and stuff. And so when I look at that, I see there's a lot of misunderstanding. And then the second part of my talk, I talked about Epiphanies of Miriam. So I wasn't trying to be cheap or nothing, but I was like, well, I'm already giving a speech on this. I can just add it to it. But the reason I mentioned Mary is because there are a lot of things about Mary that were important to me. Because, so you can know, I was born a Christian and I converted to a Muslim, right? And in my conversion and my growth and my development, I loved Mary as a Christian, right? For those who come from that tradition. And I love Jesus, obviously. And I love John the Baptist, right? And Solomon and all the different prophets of the Bible. So I was raised in North Richmond in a church and went through that process. And so as I became Muslim, Mary's figure became so important to me, because the one thing as Muslims I found out is that I never got rid of the prophets and the people who were in my tradition. It just gave me a different understanding of them. And that was important to me, because I kept going and I kept the people who I love with me. But I had different understandings of them, right? And so the one thing I found about Mary that a lot of people don't know, and even some Muslims don't know, is how she's elevated even higher in Islam than Christianity. And someone says, well, how is that? Well, one of the things is this, that's it's an incredible, Allah knows why, I just can just speculate and you can speculate. But in all of Christendom and Catholicism, you have what? John, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, right? And you have Acts and all these different books of the Bible. The Quran is the only book that I know of on the face of the earth that has a chapter called Mary. That's incredible. No other, I mean, the Quran has a chapter called Mary. But it goes a little farther than that I think is so beautiful, is that not only is the chapter named Mary, the Quran never mentions any woman by name except Mary. I mean, the Quran says the wife of so-and-so, but the queen of so, but it never says their proper name. The only proper female name in the whole Quran is Mary. Interesting, isn't it? But it goes even farther, because there's another chapter, chapter 3 of the Quran, called Ali Imran. And Ali Imran means the people of Imran, right? The family Imran. And Mary is the descendant of the children of who? Imran. And so as I went on, I started looking at the tradition of Mary's life and her specialty. And, I mean, to me, the Catholics, personally, right, they worship her. I don't go that far. But I could see what is about her persona that is so important. And in some Muslim traditions, they say that Mary was, when she was born, that they didn't expect it to be a woman. They thought it was going to be a boy. So the Quran says, and it was, and the woman gave birth, and they thought it was going to be a prophet. They thought it was going to be who? A man. And it was a woman. And why? Because Mary was taking a special place in humanity. Her special place in humanity was to be exalted in the point that she would give birth to pure prophet Jesus, peace upon him, right? But other than that, though, our epiphanies of looking at her life are important. And so when I looked at Mary's life, one of the most beautiful things that I will say about her, because there's so much to talk about, is that they say that she was always in conjunction, she was always in her personal relationship with her creator. She had developed this personal relationship that in the Quran, that when she was praying, Prophet Zechariah comes into her area, and she has a table of food. And he says, where did you get this from, Mary? And she says, hey, who provides? God provides. And so I say this because it's important for all of us to look and ask ourselves, how do you develop that personal relationship with the one, the creator, the spiritual being, whatever you want to call it, right? What is your personal relationship with that? And most people don't have it. And when we see that personal relationship, it brings unicity and us to come together. It's when people don't really go deep into it. And so Mary had a journey. And Mary's journey was something that we all should take. And so when I read those verses of Quran, the one that says Allah is the wali, the guardian of those who believe. He guides them from zulamat ila nur. Zulamat is interesting because zulamat in Arabic means what? It means veils of darkness. And light is singular. So there's many veils of darkness, but there's only light, one light. And so life is what? A journey. And when I say, fa'ayna tadhabuna, and where are you going? Allah says, where are you going? And we say, to Allah is the return. To Allah is your goal. I say this because all of us have to look at what our journey in life is. We all have to look at where are we going towards. And I love the part I didn't read. I felt bad because I saw it when you read a part when you read the red chalice for Black Lives Matter, right? I mean, I think I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think a lot of services would even consider, especially one that's not made up of black people, right? Would even think that. And I think it's important because I mentioned Malcolm X because for those, I'm sure you guys have read autobiography, but when you look at autobiography of Malcolm X, the most beautiful thing about the autobiography to me is not the racial aspects, it's not the political aspects, it's the aspect that this man took a journey from darkness to light. And he was always able to change along what? His path. And not be embarrassed to what? To say, I made a mistake, I'm going to the next one. I made a mistake, how many of us, we can't say we made a mistake? So Malcolm's life was a journey. And so quickly before I end, they asked me, it's important to me because Mary was part of my journey. Malcolm was part of my journey. Be honest with you, when I was at Contra Costa College, I searched probably every religion in this room because I said, I believed in God and I want to follow God. I said, well, guess what? I'm going to search every religion and figure out the one that's best for who? Me. So the books that were important to me that helped me was one was Autobiography of Malcolm X, which everybody says, well, that makes sense. He's black and Malcolm. Right? The second book, which kind of threw people off, is Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse, right? Which is ironic because Hermann Hesse was a Christian. So now when I read the book, now I'm like, oh, okay, I see you got to, you know, slid a little Christianity into the book. But still, I like Hermann Hesse. But what I got out of the book Siddhartha was that everybody has a quest and a journey, and you got to find it. And I like that because I think that's something I encourage young people, older people, everybody, find your journey, find your quest, but don't stop. It's like water. Water that becomes stagnant becomes bad. Water that moves always stays fresh. And I think that if you're like me, when you get older and everything, you find yourself becoming stagnant sometime. And you shouldn't. You should got to keep moving. Like Malcolm makes it. I'm older now. Malcolm said something didn't make sense when I was young, but now it makes sense that I'm older and everything. He says, if you're young and you're not doing nothing, you're old. And if you're old and you're doing something, then you're young. For us in here, hey, if we always doing something, we're moving, we're not old, we're young. And that quest and that journey has to continue. And so I say it because Mary and Jesus and all the prophets and Malcolm X and the people, we have to keep moving and moving towards universal justice, universal freedom, and universal peace for everybody. And so I'll end with this quote. He's not a friend of mine because he passed away, but I like his saying. Franz Fanon, that said, Every generation through obscurity must come and understand what their mission is. They either fulfill it or betray it. For those of us here today, it's, you know, we've had missions in our lives, but we can always make new missions now and try our best to fulfill them. And hopefully we can be an inspiration to a generation who, in my opinion, they've lost their focus on what they should be doing as far as creating them. So we should look forward to using our ideas, our concepts. And I thank you again for giving me an opportunity to address you in this short period of time. And may the universal grand architect of the heavens and the earth look upon us all with love and mercy. Thank you.